Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. We give God praise tonight. This is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. He said in his word that we ought to count it all joy. And that's what we're doing tonight, counting it all joy. We're here for our Word Wednesday in the name of Jesus. We thank God for you who have tuned in tonight, who have called in tonight. We believe that our minds will be edified and encouraged, and our spiritual walks will be strengthened on tonight as we look at the Word of God through the Scripture. He has left us His Word that would allow us, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing God's word of truth. So we thank God for every opportunity we get to learn and to grow and to read the word of God. So let us pray before we get into the lesson in the word on tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you for the remnant that yet remains in the earth realm. We thank you for those who have been called by your name. We thank you for those who believe in your word and who believe in your power and your authority in the earth realm. We give God praise tonight for the opportunity to preach and teach your word. So God, have your way on this line tonight. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have prepared for us, that we would grow, that we would allow ourselves to be mature and allow ourselves to increase in the things of God. So have your way tonight in Jesus' name. People of God, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be all glory. If we can tonight start in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. Tonight we are talking from the topic in the sermon that we preach from on Sunday. Hold on, keep the faith. Hold on and keep the faith. We have a real enemy called the devil that's trying to get you and I to operate out of fear, but God wants us to operate out of faith. Amen, somebody. God has not given you and I the spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and of a sound mind. But as we look at this man of God, one of the most powerful men in the Bible, Elijah, we'll see that fear can get to any of us. And fear can, amen, intimidate and try to penetrate all of us. But we're going to see how he handled his fear. And we're going to see what God did to oppose the fear that Elijah was dealing with, even as we look at 1 Kings chapter number 19. Because we were talking last night on the prayer line that we ought to walk by faith and not by sight, and that the just shall live by faith. But how many of you know there are times in our lives where we'll have challenges? There are times in our lives where we got to hold on and keep the faith, because our faith will be challenged. Our faith will be under fire sometimes. There are times in our Christian walk where you and I will have those uncertain moments that we really need God to hold us and to keep us and to guide us and to guard us in those times of uncertainty. So as we look at 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm just going to start at verse 1 to 4, but we're going to read a little further to see how Elijah got the victory over his fear. And you and I will also get the victory over our fear, because fear and faith cannot occupy the same space. Glory to God. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same space. So when we come to Bible study, when we go to prayer, when we hear a preach word on Sunday, when we hear prophecy in our ear gate, when we learn the voice of Almighty God and get familiar with His voice, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, the importance of knowing God's voice. my wife and Kayla and I were in Walmart. We took her back to school, and we were in Walmart on, I think we took her back to school on Monday. Yes, we took her back to school on Monday, got her settled, and then once we got into her dormitory room, into her apartment, we realized there were some things that her and her roommate needed to get the year started. So we're in Walmart, and we go to Walmart, and I'm parking the car. I let them off at the door. I parked the car, and I said, I'll meet you guys inside the store. So as I'm looking for them inside the store, all of a sudden, I don't see them as I'm searching for them. Come on, somebody. But guess what? I hear my wife and I hear my daughter's voice. Glory be to God. Y'all need to hear God on tonight. I hear their voice before I see them. Are you hearing God? In other words, because I'm in relationship with them, because I know them, because I recognize their voice, it led me to them before I saw them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. They were laughing about something, and they were conversating about something. And before I walked up on the both of them, I knew where they were because I heard their voice first. And you and I need to understand that as we go to church, as we pray in our private time, as we pray publicly, as we read the Word of God, as we study the Scripture, as we build our relationship with God over the years and over the weeks and over the months, we get to the place where we know His voice. Help me, Holy Ghost. Because we are in a day where many voices are trying to speak to us through social media, through negativity, through other things that are going on in our culture and in our world. There are other voices trying to speak to us, but God wants to speak to us more than any other voice that's in our lives. That's why it's important, you know. My wife and I make it a point not to watch the news before we go to bed, because your nightly news, they come up with so many negative stories that if you go to sleep with those voices in your spirit, chances are you will not have a good night's sleep. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. Don't miss that. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down underneath a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, my God, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. If that isn't discouragement, I don't know what it is. Elijah is a real prophet of God. He is a powerful man of God that has demonstrated great exploits with the gift and the anointing that God placed on his life. If time permits, we're going to look at some of those great things and
1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. But now, after doing great things for God and God's kingdom, he is now threatened by this woman named Jezebel, who is Ahab's wife, a ruler. And through a threat, fear has now come into this great man of God. And the reason I need to talk about hold on, keep the faith, is because there may be times in our lives where we are threatened by someone or something. And even, you know, we went to Walmart the other day, and y'all know the story, what happened in Walmart and what happened in Ohio and the craziness that we see in our culture with, you know, sometimes these mass shootings and the spirit of murder in our day. And if we're not careful, if we don't allow the Word of God to come into our lives, the light to keep coming in, the power of God to keep coming in, the anointing for God to pour in new wine and pour in new oil and pour in a fresh anointing. If we're not careful, we find ourselves in a weakened state. We find ourselves maybe in you know, 1 month we were strong in faith, or 1 week we were strong in faith, and now we don't see ourselves being as strong as we once were in the things of God. In those cases, we got to hurry back to church. We got to hurry and find our Bible somewhere and start to read it again. If we find ourselves really weak and really worn out and really overwhelmed, we must make ourselves pray. Glory to God. I said on Sunday, sometimes we have to make ourselves be nice. We have to make ourselves read the Bible. We have to make ourselves go to church. We have to make ourselves call on the name of the Lord. There are times in our life where we don't feel like it. We don't have the energy to do it. But there are times in our life where we have to make ourselves obey the word and the commands of God. Amen, somebody. Because if we go by our emotional state sometimes, and that's what's going on here, he's emotionally drained. He is discouraged. He thinks he's all alone. And as we keep reading, you're going to see his state of mind. Elijah is depleted. He says, Lord, it is enough. Have you ever been there in life where you wanted to give up? When you wanted to quit and throw in the towel? When it seemed like, you know, God, we're preaching, God, we're pastoring, God, we're sowing, God, we're coming to church, and where are the people? God, we're believing God for more, and sometimes it looked like I take 3 steps forward, and we get knocked 1 step back. God, I started my business, now where are the clients? God, I'm in a great relationship, but it looks like we're not getting along now. God, my family turned for the better. Now it looks like that devil has tried to come in again and cause division. And sometimes if you're not careful, you can get overwhelmed with the attack of the devil, because the devil knows that the reason he got to threaten you, because you're a threat to him. Oh, glory be to God. The reason the enemy comes with everything he has to stop you and to prevent you is because there's greatness on the inside of you. He knows when you pray for your family, you're going to get results. He knows that if you keep pushing forward and if you keep pressing, you will get what you have been promised by God. The enemy knows that, glory be to God, if you keep moving forward by faith, there is no good thing that God will withhold from you. So he tries to stop you with the voices of the enemy. Even sometimes that inner voice. Y'all know the voice I'm talking about. That voice that's on the inside of us that tells us we're not qualified, or that tells us we might as well give up. That tells us that we might as well stop because we don't see the fruit, or we don't see the results that we've been expecting. That inner, they call it the inner me. Not the enemy, the devil, the inner me, that inner voice that tries to tell us to give up. But the devil is a liar. That inner voice is a liar. You need to listen to sometimes Les Brown. He did so many teachings on that inner voice. He became one of the greatest motivational speakers of our time. But he always said in those early years, when he saw Jim Rowan and Zig Ziglar and Tony Roberts and these great men and women of God speaking all over the world, he said, I want to do that. And he said there was always this voice that kept telling him, you can't do that, Les. And he said he would yell out sometimes, shut up. We think crazy people only talk to themselves. But sometimes wise and smart people got to talk to themselves and say, if it's not the voice of God, shut it up and shut it off. Amen, somebody. We got to know when God is speaking to us, and we have to know when the enemy's trying to talk to us. Read verse number 5 now. And as he lay asleep under the juniper tree, the angel of the Lord touched him and said, arise and eat. And verse 6, he says, arise and eat. Verse 7, he says, arise and eat. Look at verse number 8. And he arose and he did eat, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Now, after he ate, after he got some rest, after he was fortified in his natural body, now it says for 40 days and for 40 nights, he had now strength for the journey. And sometimes God is telling some of us to rest, and we want to hold on and keep the faith. Sometimes when we're overwhelmed with work and the cares of this world, sometimes you just need a good night's sleep. Sometimes you just need time out from it all. And God will give you a break if you need that break. Verse number 9, he came to a cave, and he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse number 10, and he said, I'm very jealous for you, God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars, and they have slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left alone, and they seek my life to take it away. This is why he's running for his life. Verse number 11. And he said, go forth and stand at the mouth of the mountain. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountain or tore the mountains, and it break into pieces, and the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not even in the fire. But after the fire, there was a still small voice. Glory to God. You know, sometimes when life is not working for me and I'm going through, or I fall short in a certain area and I feel bad about what I've done, or, you know, the devil tries to condemn us and tries to be that voice that overwhelms us, I've learned to listen to that still small voice to say, son, or daughter, or man of God, or woman of God, I got you. There's greatness ahead of you. Your ladder will be greater. You are victorious in me. I have a promise and prophecy over your life to prosper you. And when you know the voice of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to listen to that voice in spite of what you see, in spite of how you feel, in spite of what you know, in spite of what you're facing, you start to listen to that voice. They said that voice was not in the fire. That voice was not in the strong earthquake. That voice was not in the wind that blew strong. But that voice was in a still small voice, and it got the attention of Elijah. He wanted to quit. He wanted to die. He wanted to give up. But now God has his attention again, because he knew the voice of God. And we're going to look at how he knew the voice of God, because I'm going to go to 1 Kings 17 and 18, because God is leading me to go there. There's so many voices I wanted to go to try to hammer home how we should try to learn to know the voice of God. Like I told you, I know my wife's voice. I know my daughter's voice because I'm familiar with their voices, and they know my voice. We can be in a crowd of people in a crowded area with a lot of people talking, but because we're in relationship with each other, we know each other's voices. And now that you are a sheep of the shepherd Jesus Christ, Jesus said in John chapter number 10, my sheep know my voice, and they will not follow another. Glory to God. You're a child of God, and you know the voice of God. That's what led you to salvation, because you knew it was his voice calling you. In the middle of anything that you were going through, in the middle of all that you've been through, we who are Christian knew the voice of God that said surrender, that said submit, that said give your life to me now, and I'll take it from here. Glory to God. I'm so glad I listened to that voice 23 years ago, 25 years ago, because my life was messed up. My wife said, you got to have a 90-minute testimony. And as I look back 25 years ago, I knew where I was then. I was sleeping on my mother's floor. Are you listening to me? I wasn't even sleeping in the bed 25 years ago. I was sleeping on somebody's floor. That's the kind of mistakes and that's the kind of decisions I made that land me in that position that I found myself in as I started going to church. I wasn't even on the couch. I was sleeping on my mother's floor, and it was not comfortable down there. It was not comfortable. I was making pretty good money, had a pretty good job, but I made so many bad, ungodly decisions, and it landed me on that floor. And I thank God that my mother had enough love for her son to take me in until I landed back on my feet. Glory to God. But sometimes we got to understand, as we know the voice of God now, and you may be in a hard place even as I'm talking. You may be in a difficult situation even as I'm talking. But as you know the voice, oh, glory be to God. Even as you know the voice of God, God will restore you. God will renew you. God will replenish you and re-strengthen you and make you over. That's the God that we serve. Let me keep reading. There's so much here. I'm losing time because there's so much in my spirit. This is like a 2 or 3 part series because I always have so much in my spirit that I try to squeeze into an hour time. And that's why I be seeing like I'm rushing. It seems like I'm talking fast because my mind is racing a zillion miles a minute because there's so much I want to share with you, but I'm going to slow it down because what I don't get out tonight, it will be at a later time. What I'm saying tonight to you, if we're going to hold on and keep the faith, we must know the voice of victory, which is the voice of God. Remember back in Genesis, where Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, his son. And the Bible says that God was about to test Abraham. And he said, bring me your son, your only son. And Abraham now has the knife in his hand, ready to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And then he heard an angel of the Lord speak out of heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham responded, here I am. And he said, don't lay a hand on the lad. Now I know you love me. Now I know you fear me. And the Bible said there was a ram in the bush that took the place of his son Isaac, because they named that mountain Jehovah Jireh, because God will provide. But the voice of God called Abraham's name twice, Abraham, Abraham. It wasn't a loud voice. It was like this still small voice. At a crucial time in Abraham's life. And that's what God is saying to you tonight. I need you to get in relationship with me so you can know my voice, even in those hard, pivotal moments that you will face in life. Remember in Acts chapter number 9, Paul is now on his way. Well, actually, Saul is now on his way to persecute more Christians. And he's on the road to Damascus. And then there's a mighty bright light. And he hears a voice that says his name twice, just like Abraham, Abraham. Now he hears Saul, Saul. And it was Jesus speaking to him. Jesus says, Saul, Saul. Not in a loud voice, but just like we read here, in a still small voice. And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, Saul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Because Saul knew the voice of the Lord. Help us, God, tonight to know the voice of Jesus, to know the voice of our Savior, to know the voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, and we must obey that voice. Even in the days when Jesus walked the earth, remember the sisters Martha and Mary? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's in the home of Martha and Mary. And Martha is busy, busy, busy cooking and cleaning and getting everything ready. And then Martha says, Lord, make my sister help me get everything ready. And Jesus says her name twice, Martha, Martha. In a moderate voice, not in a yelling voice, not being mad at Martha, but he's trying to get Martha attention. So he says her name twice, Martha, Martha. You're so busy doing all this stuff. You're a busybody. But Mary chose the most important thing, to sit at my feet and hear my word while she has opportunity to do it. And Jesus said, this will not be taken away from her. Glory to God. So Martha was building her faith up so she can hold on and keep the faith. And Jesus is in the house of Martha, and she's about to miss that opportunity. But when Jesus said her name twice, I think she began to pay attention to what he was speaking about in the house. Now let's keep reading, because we need to get up out of here. Glory to his name. Because I want to show you, as he said it's enough, he wants to die in the first four verses. And the next eight verses, he now hears the voice of God, that's still a small voice. Now he's ready to hear instruction again. Verse number 13, we're still in 1 Kings 19. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave, and there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That voice asking that question twice. And he says the same thing, I'm jealous for you, I'm the only one, you know, da 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 da. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, now he has instruction. And this is one of the reasons, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself before I make that point. Let's keep reading. And the Lord said unto him, now he's ready to give the man of God instruction again, because this is God's man. That's why you saw Elijah and Moses with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. Because this is why Elijah did not see death, but he was translated. Glory to God. I'm still trying to get ahead of myself. Verse 15, go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, listen to the instructions that God gives Elijah as he's now ready to obey the word of God again. Anoint Hazael to be king over
Syria. That's one instruction. Second instruction he gives the man of God. And Jehu, the son of Nishi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And the third instruction, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, shall thou anoint to be a prophet in your room or in place of you. Oh, my God, help us, God. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hold on and keep the faith. That's what Elijah did. He wanted to quit. He wanted to give up. He wanted to stop. But as we keep reading, he did exactly what I'm talking about tonight. He held on even when he didn't feel like it. And he kept the faith. He kept his faith in God. Not in how he felt, not in what he was going through. Jezebel threatened him. Jezebel had an army. Jezebel was running Ahab. She was running the king. She had 450 false prophets that was obeying her. Jezebel was a ruler. Jezebel was running things. So Elijah knew when she threatened him that she can do it. Not just talk about it, but be about it. So he was scared for good reason, but now he's back obeying God. And God tells him in verse 17 why he needs to anoint those two kings and a prophet. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Then he tells him, I still have 7,000 people who are faithful like you, in verse number 18. So he goes on and anoints two kings and a prophet. And let's look at verse 19 to 21 as I close this chapter out. God would not let me get out of this chapter because he wanted to tell and teach us some things tonight from the prophet Elijah that we can, you know, relate to our own lives as we go through our ups and downs in life. Sometimes you're going to feel like giving up. Sometimes you're going to face discouragement and disappointment. There are times in our life where we'll be depressed. He had all those emotions I just named. He was depressed. He was discouraged. He was disappointed. But yet he shook himself loose and he got back to the things of God. That's why, you know, when Sister Rita and Avon the prayer line, Pastor Rebecca, Pastor Jamal, you know, people were talking kingdom last night. This thing is bigger than us, people of God. This is so much bigger than us. And the devil wants us to focus in on what's wrong with us, what's wrong with our families, what's wrong with our personal lives, what's wrong with our fear of influence. What's wrong with us? And even though God is concerned about that and he's working out the things that we are going through and he's concerned about what we're going through, there's always a bigger purpose on our lives. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before your parents got together, before your grandparents got together, before your great parents got together, God knew you and he purposed you and he positioned you to be born in this earth for a reason. It may not be the pastor. It may not be the minister. It may not be that you're going to be this big prominent person in this thing called life. But whatever your purpose is, God expects for you to fulfill it. In spite of what you go through, in spite of how the devil tries to stop you through your circumstance, God wants us to have enough anointing, enough grace, enough mercy on our lives that in spite of what we're walking through, we can still do the will of God on our lives. My wife passed out prayer cards in our church, and she said at the end of the service, go to that person and tell them
what you need them to pray about, what you need them to pray for. And she had my name, and I told her, you know, what's on my spirit, what's in my heart, the things that's in my heart that I still got to keep it moving, but this is still on me. I still got to keep it moving, but this is in the back in front of my mind. I still got to keep it moving, but it's not like this is not bothering me. So we got to realize that in spite of what we're walking through, we still can do the will of God on our lives. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and he threw his mantle, or he cast his mantle upon Elisha. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. And he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Verse number 21. And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen, and he slew them, and he boiled the flesh of them with the instruments of the oxen, and he gave it to all the people, and everybody did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and he ministered unto him. Wow, my God. Thank you, Jesus. It's just so much, and I pray that in your private meditation, I can't cover it all tonight, but read from 1 Kings chapter 17 all the way to the end, and then go into 2 Kings chapter, you know, 1 to chapter about 4, and you'll start seeing the life of Elijah even before he was taken up in the chariot of fire. But you'll see his relationship with Elisha, this great man of God, that he threw his mantle on first. He covered him with the spiritual mantle, and then he began to teach his predecessor. He began to teach his student, rather. He began to teach him and mentor him and train him up, because God already spoke to Elijah that I'm about to take you up. And as you study the life of Elijah, you'll say, my God, this man was human. He had ups and downs. He had highs and lows. He had mountaintop experiences, and he had valley lows. And sometimes life is like that for you and I. We have high moments, and we have low moments. We have good moments, and we have bad moments. We have laughter and joy, and then sometimes we have tears and sorrow. Beloved, that's called life. But we can learn from people like this in our Bible, in our Word, to say it ain't over. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's not over until God says it's over. And that's why I want to look at some of the miracles that he did. I want to look at some of the things that he did that would encourage us tonight, because I don't know where you are. But even as he got back to the mission of God, he began to reach these people that God wanted him to reach. Who is it tonight that God needs you to reach? It may be your children. God needs you to minister to your children, to have a heart-to-heart conversation with your son, with your daughter, with your grandchild. It might be a niece or nephew that's going the wrong way. It may be a coworker or a classmate or a best friend. It may be your spouse. But even as we see the man of God reaching these three pivotal people in the kingdom of God, Not 3,000 people, not 300 people, not 3 million people. Are you hearing God on tonight? Sometimes we're looking for the crowd. We're looking for the multitudes. We're looking for the many. And God says to the man of God, no, there are three people that I need you to anoint. Not 300, not 3,000. These three right here are going to do what I need to do for the kingdom. Oh, glory to his name. If this one escaped the sword of that one, then that one going to take it. If that one escaped the sword of that one, then that one going to be there to handle it. Y'all remember how they dealt with Jezebel? Jehu said, I'm not going to read it tonight, but Jehu, one of the people that Elijah anointed, said, if you with me, throw that Jezebel down now. And they threw Jezebel out of the window of the tower, and she hit the ground, and she died, and the dogs came and ate her flesh, just like it was prophesied. Jezebel came against God, and God dealt with Jezebel. Glory to his name. So God's agenda will prevail. Let's look at this real quick, because I want to look at this before we close tonight. I'm going to move real fast because we only got a few minutes left. But go back to 1 Kings chapter number 17. I want you to see some of the miracles that Elijah did in his lifetime. While he showed up with Moses and Jesus, when Jesus was transfigured, and the Bible said Elijah and Moses showed up. And Peter, James, and John said, should we build a tabernacle for the three of you? It even shows that Jesus, hallelujah, glory be to God, always, always, always admonished us to be in fellowship with each other. You know, when you're discouraged, the Bible said he left his servant there and he went on a day's journey. I don't know why Elijah left his servant, but the servant was with him the whole time while he was doing great ministry. All of a sudden, he was all by himself, and he left his servant. God is saying, if you haven't been to church in a while, get back to church. If you haven't been on a prayer call, Bible study, and fellowship with the other saints, get back around the people of God, like-minded, spirited people of God, because we need each other. I said that to our church on Sunday, how we need each other. Yes, we're the pastors. Yes, we're the stewards. Yes, we're the under-shepherds. Yes, we are the leaders of New Creation Church, but we need each other. Iron sharpens iron, and the pastor in the pew, we all work together. Amen. So New Creation, we need you. If you're in this local area, if this is your church and we are your pastors, we expect to see you on Sunday. Glory to God. We expect you to be there on Sunday because we are called to do a great work for the kingdom. And we need your hands. We need your heart. We need your body. We need your presence to get it done. So we thank God for you. 1 Kings 17:1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel live, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain for 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. The first point I want to point out tonight is the power of prayer. Prayer is a powerful weapon, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When you pray, things happen. It said that this one man prayed, and God shut up heaven from raining for 3 years. But God said, Elijah, I hear your prayers.
And God is saying to you tonight, I hear your prayers. So people of God, pray to your God. You find yourself in a tough situation, pray. If you don't know what to do, pray. If you don't have peace and sleep at night, pray. It takes, you know, I heard a preacher say the other day, it takes more than a great mattress for us to get some sleep. It takes more than a great bedroom set for us to get some sleep. The enemy comes at you and I, try to get us in a restless state, try to rattle our peace, try to give us insomnia and worry. But God will give you peace so that you can sleep at night, so you don't have to worry at night. If you hold on and keep the faith, God will give you sweet slumber. So number one is prayer. Number two is provision. Watch how God provides for the man of God. He already said, I'm going to have a birds, the ravens feed you. I'm going to have a brook provide for you. Now look at what he says in verse number 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And when he went and dwelled by the brook, by the Jordan, the ravens and the bird brought bread, and they brought meat to him, and they brought flesh. And as he drank from the brook, verse number 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain. And then the word of the Lord came to him again, arise, get thee, and go to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. First, he provided with a bird in the brook that fed him bread and meat daily. The brook gave him drink. He did not die of hunger and thirst, but God provided. And God will provide for you. If you hold on and keep the faith, if you pray, God will provide for you as well. No good thing will he withhold from them who love him. He's called Jehovah Jireh, your provider, for a reason. God will provide. God will provide. And the third thing is power. God will give you power just like he gave a man of God power. He had a widow sustain him, birds in a brook sustain him. Now watch the demonstration of power. So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, there was a widow woman there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said to her, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God live, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and your son. Here's the demonstration of power. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, neither shall your cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Glory to God. And the barrel of meal did not waste or run out. And the cruse of oil did not fail or run out according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Elijah. Glory be to God. God is speaking to you and I tonight that if we hold on and keep the faith, our resources will not run out. Our blessings will not run out. The grace of God on your life will not run out. The abundance of overflow in your life will not run out. We see the prophecy coming to pass. This woman said, the famine was so great, all of my food is out. All of my resources are gone. I'm going to prepare this last meal for me and my son, and then as we eat it, we're going to prepare to die because there is no food anywhere. And the man of God prophesied. He got a word from the Lord that you not going to die, she not going to die, her son is not going to die, but as I send rain, as I send a blessing, I just need you to walk in obedience. Who is that for? God is asking you and I to not walk in disobedience, but to still obey the God that gave us instruction. And when you obey God, God will give you overflow. They obey God, and their resources did not run out. When you listen to God, you will not run out. Oh, glory to his name. When one door closes, another door will open. When one opportunity is gone, God will give you another opportunity. When they don't want you anymore, God got some other people that will want you. Oh, glory be to God. When one job is not there, God will give you another job. In the name of Jesus. So we're going to believe God tonight. Our job is to hold on. And our job is to keep the faith. Hold on. Keep the faith. God showed me even through this, as I read tonight, I want to close out in Galatians chapter 5. Because this great man, Elijah, had all of these characteristics. We know them as the fruit of the Spirit. And as you go to church and you see certain areas in your life, you know, you pray to God to, you know, remove your temper, to remove your anger. You pray to God to give you more patience. You pray to God to make you a more loving and kind person. You pray to God to give you a greater strength in the area of endurance and stick-to-itness. You pray to God to give you the ability to hang in there and not run away from things when they get tough. And God has honored your prayer, and he has, just like a personal trainer at a gym, he has designed a program or a process for you to show you just what you have on the inside of you. Sometimes I look at my own self, how, you know, my wife and I have been doing this and being Christians for 23, 25 years, and along our journey, we hit some low moments, you know, when the church split and when certain members, you know, whatever, certain highs and lows over the years. And sometimes you don't know what's in you until certain things happen to you. And that's where, you know, I preached a message years ago called It's Just a test of your faith. And sometimes we go through these tests to just see what God has placed on the inside of us. God is telling me to tell somebody you're stronger than what you think you are. God is telling me to tell that other person you're smarter than what you think you are. And God is telling me to tell somebody else you're more spiritual than what you think you really are. And as we hold on and keep the faith, we begin to develop these characteristics that we see in Galatians chapter number 5, because they're not worldly characteristics, they're spiritual. And sometimes I was age 30 when I got into the things of God. As I look at this list, I was short in a lot of these areas. I mean, I was deficient in a lot of these areas when I became a Christian. And over the years, he helped me work on some of these things. And guess what? He's still working on me in certain areas. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5 as we close out tonight. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. As a matter of fact, I want to back up to verse number 19. Because some of us wonder why we still are, you know, falling short in certain areas. But let's look at the comparison of these two lists and we're going to close out. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance in relations, wrath or anger, strife, seditions, heresies, kind of gossiping, envious, being envious or coveting, murders, drunkenness, over drinking, or the use of drugs, revelings, arguing, and such alike. Those are the works of the flesh. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you time past, that they which do the things, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. And what we're talking about tonight, faith and meekness and temperance or self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of its lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envious of one another. As I bring this to a close, let God develop these characteristics in your life. Even as I close out tonight, read Galatians chapter 5 again. It tells you in chapter 6, be not weary in well-doing, for you'll reap a harvest if you faint not. Read all of Galatians. If you read the earlier part, Paul says, who bewitched you? Who tricked you? Who deceived you? And we got to understand, he's called a deceiver for a reason. The devil will lie to you. If he convinced one-third of the angels in heaven to go against God, how in the world do we possibly think we can defeat a devil like that on our own? If he defeated one-third of the angels to go against God in heaven, you know he's a great deceiver and a great liar. So we have to stay on our guard, put on our whole armor of God every day, and hold on and keep the faith. But as you pray for God to build these godly characteristics in your life, it will happen. Give yourself time to develop. Don't beat yourself up too much.
Don't put too much of a burden on your own life if you fall short in these areas. Give God time to work on you, because he will work on you. Father, I thank you tonight. I pray tonight that we are all growing in the things of God. As we look at the life of Elijah, we learn some things that many of us felt like quitting and giving up. Many of us have been threatened and fear came into our lives. There, many of us have that inner voice that try to talk us out of what you were trying to talk us into. But God, I thank you tonight that we'll get the victory if we hold on and keep the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to announce that my wife's birthday is next week. Pastor Rebecca, I'm going to say it again. I meant to say it last night on the prayer line. Pastor Rebecca's birthday is next week, September the 4th, next Wednesday. Now, we will be here Sunday. We will be in the local church. We will be on the prayer line Tuesday. But her birthday is next Wednesday. And if you are in the local assembly, I'm praying that you bring her a card with a little ice cream money up in there to say, Pastor, we love you. Go get your nails done. Go and pamper yourself. Buy yourself something nice. Take yourself to Panera Bread and buy lunch on me. Get your pastor a card, a greeting card. Tell her how much you love her, how much her preaching and her teaching and her love for you and your family have blessed y'all. Show our pastor that we love her and that we thank God that he has placed her in our lives. You know, bring her a little gift on Sunday, because her birthday, you may not be able to see her until her birthday or after her birthday the following Sunday. So we want to bless her on Sunday and make her feel so loved while we can. Amen. So hopefully we'll see you. If you're in this local area, we'll see you on Sunday. We start 12:30 sharp. We have a spirit of excellence in our church, and we do start on time. So we want you to be there. If you're in this area, please come to church. Not please come to church. Come to church on Sunday. To God be the glory. And for those of you who are not in the area, please sow a seed, or you can send her a gift. $ NCCM Church, CHURCH, $NCCM Church. You can cash at Pastor Rebecca and say, I want to, you know, sow this into your life. $20, $50, I don't know what you want to give her, but bless her. And you can do that if you're not in this local area. Amen. To God be the glory. We love you, everyone. Good night. And we will see you on Sunday. We're going to have Holy Communion on Sunday. It's the first Sunday in the month of September. And we will be there. And we're going to sup and break bread together. And we thank God for all of you who will be there. And we're going to sup together as we celebrate Holy Communion together. And there's always a word from the Lord at New Creation Church. We love you. Good night, everyone. I love you. Good night. Have a blessed evening.